Gardening is an old pastime, tradition, and hobby. You've heard me talk about gardening as something other people do, like Brian, who loves it. My brother-in-law Adam loves it too. He even built his own greenhouse. The first few years, I appreciated the beauty of gardening. I mean, at least 1 acre of our two is basically garden beds and trees. But I just wasn't up for the effort of being one of those garden people, you know, talking about gardening, learning about gardening, or I just didn't think it was for me. I'm a, you know, a writer. I look at things and write them down. Also, to be honest, the first years as weekenders, I didn't want to schlep upstate and then spend precious hours at the house working on a garden. But you know, it's a thing people do. A study by the National Gardening Association found that 80% of new homeowners in the United States start gardening within the first year of moving in. It's very local too. The old Dutch Village Garden Club in our town of Red Hook dates its roots back to 1942. Garden Pals, an online magazine, says that 55% of Americans have something to do with gardening, with a big burst of activity that happened during the pandemic, something like 18 million new gardeners. Millennials, get this, make up nearly 30% of the new gardener demographics, though one can assume that a lot of that is, of course, cannabis. So after years of looking from afar, I've decided to get my gloves on and get a little dirty. The catalyst was the historic Red Hook auction, where I bid and I won a plot of land at the Four Corners Community Farm, just a few miles from my house. Don't know if you've heard of it, but here's what they do. Four Corners Community Farm mitigates food insecurity and cultivates a more inclusive community by providing the tools, resources, and networks to help families, groups, and volunteers grow their own food and share produce with food distribution programs. Run by Sam Rose, my new friend, who also provides workshops in English and Spanish, it's awesome. I always bid on things in auctions, and I never ever win. So I took this garden plot win as a sign from the earth, if not from the sky. A sign to get away from the screen and just looking at things and writing them down. A sign to try to grow something besides this podcast and, of course, grow my client work. A sign to learn the difference between a hoe and a shovel, between seeds and starters, between an annual and a perennial, and wait for it, the difference between mulch and compost. Yuck.
It's a new way of living and I'm trying to get used to it. One part clueless, half an ounce of an idiot. Ordered a Manhattan and they call me a city, yeah. At first it hurt my feelings, but it's kinda got a ring to it. When you move to the country, they can tell when you're new to it. I'm looking at a place, but I'm trying to keep fitting in. It takes too long to be a local, so for now I'm a city, yeah.
I'm Matt Zucker, and this is City It, Learning to Live and Love Life in the Hudson Valley, Episode 88. Sam Rose of Four Corners Community Farm has been generous and patient in teaching a City It like me about gardening and gardening in the Hudson Valley. It seems that we have a lot of options of what we can grow. Sam says one of the main things to consider is our hardiness zone, a classification of how cold our region gets in the winter. Officially, we are considered Zone 5B, but this classification was determined in the year 2012, and with winter temperatures generally trending upward, our classification could one day change. Now, that's not to say we should be planting pineapples and mangoes, says Sam, but it may broaden some options of less hardy perennials. At the same time, certain plants such as stone fruit need a critical number of time in cold temperatures or chill units to trigger fruit production. As some of you may know, I'm allergic to most stone fruit, so it's not like I was running to grow plums or cherries anyway. As far as veggies and staples, though, many of which I can eat, the canvas, according to Sam, is pretty open. Here in the Hudson Valley, we have a relatively long, warm summer, so most annuals will have time to develop and give a good harvest. Rainfall is pretty variable, so crops with a critical harvest period can be a challenge if weather doesn't permit us to, you know, get in the field. So when deciding what to grow, according to Sam, we can grow most of the popular crops, even the ones more associated with southern climates. Well, if we start early. Just be prepared, folks, for the Hudson Valley's crazy weather patterns. All of this was a bit overwhelming to me, since it sounded like I could grow almost anything, when what I really wanted, like any beginner at anything, was just to be told what to do. I was paralyzed by what to put in the little plot I won. Vegetables? Flowers? What kind of vegetables? Only ones I can eat, like lettuce and broccoli, or things Brian might also like tomatoes? What are even the names of different flowers? And what color scheme would be pretty? As the weeks went by, I really couldn't decide between vegetables or flowers. So what I chose was both. Vegetables versus flowers. Nothing like a game or showdown to get me playing. Luckily, I live just a few miles from Four Corners, so I can stop by frequently, though as you'll see, not necessarily frequently enough. Now for the show, instead of just describing how my first time gardening was going, in this episode I thought I would bring you, beloved listeners, closer to the action. This episode you'll tune into my audio journal as I start gardening in my little plot of land at Four Corners Community Farm. Hopefully this is the first update of many. Now you'll hear some wind in the background since I do some live reporting on my phone. Not as high quality sound as Brett Barry would on the CatCast podcast, or as David Muir would on Location, but hey, I'm trying. Apologies in advance to real gardeners that this is going to be a little bit painful, especially for the plants. Okay, day one of my little plot of land, which is about 4x6, 6x8, I don't know. It's sort of a rectangle. It's not the biggest one. There are bigger plots of land on the other side, but right here there's about 4 times 5, about 20 plots of the smaller size. And the one I adopted is kind of on the left side, covered by a tarp. So I had to uncover the tarp in the wind, which was held down by these cute little clever metal stakes. And then I was told to rake or plow or whatever it's called, the soil, you know, to kind of clear it and kind of stir it up a little bit, so to speak, the way you would if you were baking something. And then I cleared away the hay too. I guess the hay was protecting something. And then I could have either brought my own compost, which of course I don't have, or I could have purchased from here. He's got some, and you kind of just truck it over yourselves in the wheelbarrow, and then you Venmo the donation to cover it. So of course I did that because I'm too lazy to go out, and I thought his compost would be really good. So I wheeled that over in a wheelbarrow. I was schwitzing. I didn't even think this through, you know, and I wore good jeans, which was a dumb idea. But I wanted to get it done, right? I wanted to get it done and see if I could get it done kind of quickly too. So I composted everything, which I guess is a little bit like mulch. It kind of looks nice and rich for the soil. And then I dug out little holes and I planted the flowers that I bought earlier in the week at the Four Corners Farm event, which was the fundraiser. So I bought broccoli and kale, two of each. And then I'd already bought three flowers, zinnias and two other things. I think one's a sunflower. So I put them in the ground and then I added more compost and that looked really good. And I instantly forgot what I had put in the ground. So on little stakes that I brought over, I wrote maybe kale, maybe broccoli, maybe zinnia, maybe the other thing. Oh, maybe marigold, that's the other thing. I think I got the flowers and I got the vegetables correct, but we'll find out. Now, I didn't bring enough plants to really cover up the entire plot, so I left half of the tarp and restuck down with the metal stakes to keep the other half covered, which kind of looks unattractive, but it reminds me I've still got a lot of work to do. All right, day two of my plot of land. I'm back. Everything seems to be still alive. This is lucky. So I'm really here just to water. So I went over and I got the watering jugs that they leave out. And I went to the rainwater thing and I poured them and I started pouring water. It's unclear how much water one should do so I don't drown my flowers and kill them accidentally in the reverse direction than starvation, which is how I expect they will go. But so far, flowers and vegetables are still alive, all going well. Day three, back at the farm. It's really like day seven-ish because it's been about a week. It looks like the plants and everything are still alive. I came with grand intentions of planting the rest of the plot, but I was too late. Like, it's 4 o'clock in the afternoon and Grandiflora was closed, which I had no idea this was true. This is why people garden in the morning, I guess. So teachable lesson number one,
wake up earlier and do this. I did bring a little cute statue, this little frog caricature that I'm going to plant in my ground so everyone knows which plot of my land is. So you'll be able to see it. I'll take a picture. Otherwise, it's just going to be watering today and a quick visit. Okay, day 4, I think it is. Things are looking good. I just bought some more fruits and vegetables at the Hardy Roots sale. I bought 4 spinach plants and 4, get this, baby watermelons. They're going to be adorable if they survive. Plus, as you may know, I drink a lot of vodka with Bai watermelon as a drink. And so can you imagine if I become my own homegrown cocktails from my own garden? That would just be too something. Also good if they ever stop making Bai watermelon. So I'm here to water things. And I got some more compost and I created some more space. I took off the tarp on the other half. So later this week, I will pick up some more flowers because I need to balance this out. And I've got room for about 2 or 3 more vegetables. Terrible news, idiots. I came back after a rainstorm and I was hoping everything would be thriving, but apparently there's been a murder in the plot. I think my maybe zinnias and my maybe marigolds are no longer with us. They seem shriveled up and everything. Maybe I waited too long between plantings. I don't know. So I'm watering everything now. I also just put in a new city at sign that I ordered from Etsy, which is, I thought, adorable at first, but now it looks like a graveyard sign, which is sort of true to form considering today. But the kale, you know, the maybe kale, the maybe broccoli, the other maybe broccoli, the spinach, and the watermelon, baby watermelon, seem to be okay. So I'm optimistic. It just might mean I may need to take a second pass on the flower side. While my vegetables thrive, my flowers will need a new choice. I thought I should end this episode on an optimistic note. There is life after death. I stopped by Grandiflora and spoke to the woman with advice about what kind of flowers I should get to replace the ones I lost. And she asked about annuals or perennials, and the blank look on my face probably helped her choose to explain to me the difference that annuals bloom once, and if I'm using rented land, which I am, is probably the best choice. So we picked out some really good perennials, some really cool things that are petunias. They're like super colorful. They're like actually called super petunias. And they're pink and they're yellow and they're purple and they're red. And you can see a photo on the Instagram. So I picked out a kind of a melange of them. And with the kind of the leaf compost that I had bought last week, I just planted them in the garden. With my new city at sign, it looks a little bit like a graveyard plot, I admit, but there is life. And the vegetables seem to be alive. The spinach, maybe the baby watermelon, I'm not sure, and the maybe broccoli. So I've just got to end this by being incredibly optimistic. In fact, I felt so good. I donated the spreader, the seed spreader, which I won, I didn't even know the name of it, to the farm, because we had an extra, I didn't realize that. So I just feel so good about all of this. And I'm really optimistic that I'll remember to water, that I'll remember that in July I should actually give plant food as well, and that I should actually come by, and maybe I'll figure out what to do with the empty, what's left of the plot. Speaking of, next to my plot, there's still some empty real estate. So if you want to adopt a plot, you could be my neighbor. Just find out from Four Corners Community Farm if any of the plots are still available. Good luck, at least to me, and talk to you soon.
So, going forward, I need to water more for sure, but I wonder whether I needed to do more with the soil as well. The gardening center lady told me to add the plant food that I bought from her to the soil in July when the original that came with it has petered out. Feel free to remind me. I hope you get a kick out of this, and more importantly, want to know more and even support Four Corners. The farm's focus now is on access and sustainability, raising money to improve its infrastructure so folks of all abilities and ages can participate in the programming. They're also working to provide salaries for their all-volunteer staff so that they can achieve administrative sustainability. This is a community-based effort, and help from all is welcome. This could be volunteering on a community work day so they can increase impacts, attending an event or a workshop, adopting your own garden plot, or directly making a financial contribution. I'll put a link to Four Corners in the show notes and on the episode page. Until then, I'm Matt Zucker, hopeless yet hopeful, dirty yet happy. It's summer in the Hudson Valley. Put on your overalls and come visit.
A new way of living, and I'm trying to get used to it. One park poodles, half an ounce of an idiot. Ordered a Manhattan, and they call me a city. At first, it hurt my feelings, but it's kinda got her into it. When you move to the country, they can tell when you're new to it. I'm looking at a place, but I'm trying to keep fitting in. It takes too long to be a local, so for now, I'm a city. I'm a city.